America still has a problem with prices. Could a cap on credit card interest rates help, or would it hurt? Welcome to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. President Donald Trump is proposing a cap on credit card interest rates of 10% for 1 year. He says the mandate would help make America more affordable. But the fallout of the move could be sharply felt in South Dakota. Together, the finance and insurance industries contribute more than $8 billion to the state's GDP. I talked with South Dakota Bankers Association President Carl Adam. I asked him why bankers oppose the proposal.
The impact for the credit card marketplace regarding a 10% cap would be very, very detrimental to consumer spending, not only in South Dakota, but across the country. The purpose of the bill, I think, is arguably trying to help the consumer with affordability. We've all been facing that in our society, you know, as it relates to grocery store, fuel, across the spectrum. But the answer is not to put a cap on credit card interest rates at this time. It may provide a lower annual percentage rate to the holder of the credit card, but, you know, this kind of a proposal would totally limit and probably exclude the people you're intending to help. This would create credit bubbles, and these credit card companies, you know, are basing their metrics based upon ability to pay. Keep in mind, this is unsecured credit offered on a revolving line to individuals with certain credit needs. And this would significantly decrease the opportunity for credit to be extended on credit cards.
So why are the interest rates higher than 10% in the first place? Say more about how some of those rates are set, because we know it's really profitable for lenders to the tune of $160 billion in 2024, which is more money than lenders made on market trading. So we know there's a lot of profit in it for the lenders. Why, though, are the rates as high as they might be? Why are they higher than 10% in the first place?
Well, keep in mind, you know, bankers who typically are the issuers of credit cards, this is unsecured credit, so it's the ability or the promise to pay on an unsecured line. In a perfect situation, we could have it at 10% across the board, but the national average right now is somewhere between 18 and 21%, and it's based upon the ability to pay or willingness to pay. Mm-hmm. Not everybody pays as prescribed. Therefore, you have to raise rates to for these card models to be able to be profitable. Not everybody is able to make the payment or willing to make the payment. So that is the reason, in order for them to be profitable, there's a lot of these cards that are written off over the course of the unsecured loan on the credit card. And in order for these banks to be profitable, that's where the interest rate needs to be at a higher rate so they can absorb those losses.
Is a consumer who's always paying on time absorbing some of the risk because other consumers are not paying on time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Not only on time, but they'll default on their card. Mm-hmm. So you'll have credit extended to individuals, all depending on the kind of card, their ability to repay based upon income and so forth. So all of these cards are underwritten. So when you apply for a credit card, you have to attest to your income. They'll run a credit bureau on you depending on other outstanding obligations, whether it be a home loan, automobile loan, other types of consumer revolving debt. And they dial it in and try to provide it's unsecured. And so there's nothing that the bank can go after to repossess a car or repossess some personal item. So if you don't pay and they're written off, somebody in some form basically has to make that up, that difference. And it's other cardholders within those portfolios.
I wonder if we've started taking credit cards for granted a little bit. They're so ubiquitous that we forget what it is exactly we're doing.
The part about that is, we talk about financial health, mm-hmm. Being able to have financial discipline, to be able to not bite off more than you can chew. But oftentimes, especially, I will say, since COVID, we seem to bring COVID into these discussions. Mm-hmm. We all have seen and experienced and feel the increased costs of consumer goods. Keep in mind, gross domestic product in this country, in the United States, 68% to 70% of it is consumer spending. So the ability to have unsecured credit to help, you know, consumers make ends meet is extremely vital. You know, credit cards are vital in the entire financial ecosystem. You can't rent a car without a credit card. Oftentimes you can't, you know, for those people that shop online, you have to pay online with a card, hotel reservations, you know, airline flights, et cetera. So it's extremely important for the overall economy. And if this credit card rate cap, as the president has suggested, is continued to be proposed and continued to be potentially legislated, this would be very detrimental for our overall economy as well.
Tell me how a policy like this would stand to impact South Dakota's economy because of our banking industry.
Well, that's a great question, and we fortunately have been able to pull some data together. Earlier this month, so I think it was 2 weeks ago today, the 8th of January, when the president posted that kind of out of the blue, that this is something, a priority for him to make cost of living more affordable. And he equated that with a rate cap. The impact on the credit card or on the consumer is very, very significant. So we've done a 50-state survey, and in South Dakota alone, the share of open accounts that would lose access to credit on the low side is about 71%, and it's estimated on the high side about 84%. So that would equate to the overall estimate of individuals that would lose access to credit or have their credit line be reduced would be about 345,000 cardholders here in South Dakota. So when you look at a state, you know, a modest state like South Dakota with roughly a million residents, there would be about a third of the individuals that have access to unsecured credit through a credit card would either lose their ability to have a card or else have their credit line reduced. Mm-hmm. So it would be very, very impactful. And I do know that there are a lot of individuals that you mentioned, you know, whether you're a prime borrower or a subprime or a near-prime borrower, everybody would be impacted. Mm. So if you were to, you know, have just the best of the best credit histories, individuals that you're able to know that have the income and the income and the financial discipline to make their card payments on time, yeah, a 10% rate would probably be, a reasonable goal. But the fact of the matter is, that's just not where consumers are right now. And I don't believe in the history of credit cards that 10% is even possible.
How would it impact the banking industry beyond how it impacts consumers? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great question there. So the banks are risk managers. Banks have to underwrite credit based upon an unsecured portfolio. And a 10% model would not be sustainable. You'd see a lot of banks get out of credit card lending. Mm. It's just a fact. You'd see credit underwriting tighten for those that have the ability and the wherewithal to make their credit card payments. You'd have to be probably one of the better credit risks in order to have unsecured credit extended to you through a credit card. There would be other opportunities. I mean, the banks would have to work to, you know, charge higher entrance fees in the way of getting a card. So they would charge a higher amount to have a card on an annual basis. So the underwriting would tighten, the cost of entrance would be more expensive. It would overall just really put individuals that do use that a card to make ends meet on a monthly basis, would put them in a real, rough predicament.
Would it remove the South Dakota advantage for banks to do business in the state if there was a nationwide cap?
You know, I think it would. You know, typically Congress doesn't mandate credit card rates. That is typically based upon the issuing bank and the kind of portfolio that they have. But as you know, South Dakota is a strong bank state. We have over 80 plus banks here in South Dakota, and several of them are large holders of credit card portfolios. And I know that a lot of the large issuers that issue credit cards across not only South Dakota but across the country would have to rethink, the future of credit card lending here in our state and across the country.
If the president, in your opinion, is off base on the policy, that this would be a way to address affordability issues in America, is there another industry-focused way to respond to the issue of affordability? Is that something that banks think about, or is that outside your purview?
No, I think that banks continuously look for opportunities to, if they have a broader card program that, envelopes in more modest income producers to larger income producers, if there's a way to provide, for example, subprime card users, individuals that have blighted credit because of, past obligations, they may have, had a bankruptcy or had a repossession of a vehicle, those types of things. So there's credit repair programs within credit card portfolios that allows you to work to prepare your, repair your credit and over time get yourself into a better card program, which would be a lesser annual percentage rate, greater extension of credit opportunity on your card. So that is the goal for all card operations. They look to, assist the consumer to the best of their ability. At the same time, make sure that the card portfolio is profitable.
Yeah. Are there other legislative priorities that you have in the state of South Dakota, or are you taking this policy promise or declaration from the president seriously enough to talk to the congressional delegates? Help us understand what some of your advocacy, now that you've explained this overall.
No, that's a great point. And just to let you know, in the 119th Congress, which is the Congress that we're working with right now, this policy or this bill has been suggested in the past. It is currently being supported shortly after the president made this declaration on the 8th of January. Senator Hawley, Republican from Missouri, and Senator Sanders, Democrat from Vermont, have joined forces again and introduced Senate Bill 381. So this is the bill that kind of reintroduced it in the 119th Congress for consideration. Again, when the president made this declaration on the 8th of January, this is, government control. We look at it as a government control from the president. We are taking it very seriously. We have contacted and working with both Senator Rounds and Senator Thune and Congressman Johnson, telling them and providing them this, the data that shows that this is not sustainable. This is not sustainable. The industry would be impacted, consumers would be impacted, and our local economies would also be impacted. They recognize the data. I think Republicans and Democrats both recognize the impact this would have. And we're seeing from members of Congress on both sides of the aisle recognizing that this would be, it's not a poor bank commentary, it's a consumer protection commentary. We would find consumers being, having to, more than likely default on other obligations, not able to make their credit card payments, not able to make other, payments that they may put on their credit cards. It would put everybody in a real financial, deficit.
Carl Adam is president of the South Dakota Bankers Association. That's our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.